Ads, schmads. If you don't want ads, that's okay. Choose the Dave McWilliams Plus option on Apple Podcasts. And hey presto, no ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
To understand the economy, you have to understand human nature.
This podcast is powered by Acast.
How are you doing there? It is time for the podcast. And I am away. John is at home. I'm looking at him down the tube here on Riverside, which is what we use to do the podcast when I'm away or when he's away. And he's got a big scarf. Is it a Kirschnachte at home, John? Is it cold? Is it cold, darling? Is it?
Oh, Mac, I woke up this morning and there was a little flurry of snow. Very nice, very picturesque. And then within a couple of hours, we had, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches of snow. And what happened? Chaos. The place totally fell apart.
Really?
Madness. I had to drop one of my girls up to work, which is only a couple of kilometres up the road. And I only got about 0.5 kilometre within about an hour. It was mayhem.
So the whole country came to a standstill.
And now, Mac, it's mid-afternoon. The rain has come and it's all turned to slush.
So it's all gone. But it's a fantastic event, John, to have a look at, right? Through the frame of Nassim Taleb's Black Swan Theory, right? It's a very good book. If anybody hasn't read Nassim Taleb's Black Swan, it is really well worth just a few hours. And we're also going to talk about, John, the whole podcast is going to be on the lack of reading of books and this move to all sorts of truncated culture. We're going to talk about, John, snow, black swans, and the TikTokization of culture, all against the background of the collapse in RTE. What a podcast.
Oh, nice.
What a podcast. We're going to have more hot takes than a millennial can stand, okay? We'd be hot taking all over the gaff,
okay,
right?
Okay, Mac, let's kick it off.
So, obviously, the background noise to all this, the last couple of weeks, for Irish listeners, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. For non-Irish listeners, we will be brief, right? The national broadcaster in Ireland, which has been established for decades, is going through sort of a nervous breakdown. And the nervous breakdown is encapsulated in top presenters getting fired and people moving away and jiggery pokery and management and the head chief bottle washer of RTE getting sick and pretending that there's some sort of issue that she can't turn up and something. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But anyway, it has been a shit show, right?
Yeah, to say the least. Not to mention embarrassing, infuriating, frustrating and everything else.
All the while, the politicians have now got the top brass of the broadcasting company up at some sort of Oireachtas committee and everyone's spoofing and lying and not telling the truth and telling half-truths and all. So,
well, that's the new reality TV is the Oireachtas committee.
It is.
It's amazing.
It's like the Big Brother house. Yeah. And in the Big Brother house.
Day 54.
In the Big Brother house. And Ireland has been, or certain parts of Ireland, have been convulsed by the chaos and the dysfunction and the total, how would you say it? The dismemberment of senior members of the broadcasting elite in Ireland under scrutiny, right? So that's been going on. But the background noise, John, this is what I want to talk about, is the very rapid shift in consumer habits and in listening habits and the demographic shift, which is that the young are switching off RTE in spades. Now, that's what we want to talk about. But it leads us to a very alarming area, John, which is what I would call the infantilization of art, entertainment, and culture, or the TikTokization of culture, where all culture and all art is being reduced to these bite-sized little snapshots. Everything is about making things digestible and easy. And if that's the way we are going as a culture, what happens to art? What happens to wisdom? What happens to real learning? What happens to contemplation? What happens to commitment? What happens to all these human attributes that are absolutely essential for creating good work?
Yeah, absolutely.
If all things are reduced to a soundbite, what happens to good work? So we're going to look at it through the music industry, through the video industry, even through the sport industry, through journalism, even through, for example, you know, relationships. You know, if everybody is looking for quick dopamine hits, what happens to commitment? What happens to the idea of being around for the long term? So RTE is not just the victim of its own mismanagement, which it kind of is, but that's not the interesting thing. What is much more interesting, it's the victim of two worlds colliding. One world, which is the old world, and the new world. And the new world has profound ramifications, not just for media, but for politics, for economics, for culture, for investment, all that sort of stuff.
Mm, okay, let's get into it. Where do you want to start?
Okay, let's kick off with the Black Swan event. A Black Swan event, John, is an event in statistics which has a very, very low probability of occurring, but has an incredibly high impact when it does occur.
Yeah.
So nobody predicts it. And when it happens, it causes chaos. You've just talked about the traffic in Dublin. That's a great example. Yeah. You have this idea, who would have ever thought we'd have snow in March, right? Nobody's prepared for it. The Met Aaron fellas miss it.
They did,
people
actually,
wake up to snow and it causes chaos. Why? Because nobody's prepared. So it's all about the distribution and statistics, right? So basically, for example, you take a situation, a country like Ireland has a huge amount of rain every year. But because that rain falls continuously, it doesn't really affect us in any one way. Whereas certain other parts of the world have the same amount of rain that Ireland has, but it falls in 2 or 3 days.
Mm.
And therefore they have massive flooding because the probability of the event and the distribution of the event are completely different. So the Black Swan event is what Taleb wrote about in his books, but it's something for a long, long time ago. It's basically that people thought that there was no such thing as a Black Swan until they found one in Australia in the 17th century.
Right. So give us an example in economics then.
Everything, the huge stock market crashes, the 2008 crash. I didn't think it was a Black Swan event, but most people did.
Yeah.
COVID is a Black Swan event, right?
Yeah.
The probability of it happening were very, very low. But when it happened, the impact was enormous. In fact, that was probably the best example. Another one I was thinking about was I was just watching the news from Ukraine. And one of the most significant Black Swan events in our lifetime was the Chernobyl nuclear disaster.
Absolutely.
Because the probability of it was very, very low. And the impact was enormous. Like many people would say that it was as a result of Chernobyl that Mikhail Gorbachev lost his grip on power. Because what happened was the Soviet Union always maintained that they had at least incredible technocrats and engineers and engineering prowess. I mean, these were the first people to put somebody into space.
Yeah.
So they put a huge amount of store in their technological ability. So they might say, look, we mightn't be able to give you Nike runners or Led Zeppelin or Deep Purple, but we can give you amazing nuclear power. And then, of course, once the top got blown off the Chernobyl reactor, the whole credibility of the Soviet Union starts to unravel. And lots of people argue that the beginning of the fall of the Berlin Wall was the Chernobyl reaction, the fact that the Politburo in Russia then sort of said, well, no, it didn't happen. They tried to defend it and disguise it. And as the population became aware that Chernobyl happened, and that they had decided to pretend it didn't happen, they said, well, look, this is a metaphor for the whole country because you're constantly lying to us, and the credibility unravels. And lo and behold, 3 or 4 years later, the entire system unravels.
Yeah.
You know, which is why Ukraine is independent now. So that's a very good example of a Black Swan event.
Yeah.
In more recent events, COVID is a great example of a Black Swan event. And they happen a lot in financial markets.
Can I just ask you then, is part of the definition of a Black Swan event is not just the event itself, but something that leads to a big chain reaction?
It's basically, it's what they call long tails in statistics, but we can talk about long tails another time, John.
Right.
Okay? But because I know where you'll go with it, okay? So the very, very lack of forecasting, the very improbability of the event creates the circumstances or the environment for lasting impacts, and they are enormous.
Yeah.
Now, so we're just using this in the Irish case with snow this last few days. But take that now and let's look at what is happening in RTE, the black swan notion, right? An event that really changes the world. And the event we're going to get onto, John, is TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all these things which were not forecasts, which were a function of technological change, which have had profound impacts on broadcasting and media in general.
Although I suppose you could argue that the RTE debacle and crisis was not so much a black swan event because it has been suffering from mismanagement for years. And it's probably more like the boiling frog effect.
Yeah.
I suppose the black swan element of it was when it all came to light suddenly in an audit last year.
You can argue, John, that a big black swan event would be the following. If RTE didn't go bust, that would be a black swan event.
Right? That's true.
Okay, so that's our black swan event. If RTE doesn't go bust, it's a black swan.
Yeah.
It's an event of very, very low probability that will have enormously high impact. You're absolutely right. But what I want to do is the why. So let's think about what is happening. Why is RTE now we're going to mix our metaphors even more, a dodo, which it looks like a black swan, but isn't a black swan. And the reason it's dead as a dodo is the following. I look at the habits of my kids and I look at my mum, right? My mother, Alice, is an RTE devotee. She watches it all the time.
Yeah.
I would watch RTE every now and then for current affairs and news, but not much else, right? My children never, ever watch RTE. I've never seen them turn on the telly. I've never seen them tune into RTE.
Yeah.
Right? I've never heard them listening to the radio. Now, I don't say any of this with any glee. I say it actually with a very heavy heart, John, because I worked with RTE for many years over loads of good projects. I know loads of people in there. I respect many of the staff I worked with. It's just that this is the way the world is going.
Yeah.
Because when you look, and if you think that little story of my family over three generations, what you see is an organization which is on the way out. So what we were really witnessing over the last couple of weeks and months in RTE is really the death rattle of an organization,
yeah.
Right? And the politicians are getting freaked out and everyone's getting freaked out, but nobody's really saying, hold on a second. What is happening here is a business is dying. Now, the reason businesses die, I mean, businesses go bust, John, all the time. This is our Schumpeterian gales of creative destruction. Sometimes it's management. Sometimes it's just the world moves on without you. Sometimes it's technology. Maybe it's all three in the case of RTE. But what we see is a generation has abandoned an organization. And I'll just give you some statistics. There was a report, probably the best report on what's happening in media is the Reuters Institute Digital News Report. It's a joint project between Reuters and Oxford University.
Right.
It's taken from data all across the globe, right? And it's 2023 report. So just out, basically says what they term social natives, those who end up, you know, growing up in the era of social media, are increasingly less likely to go directly to a news site or an app for their news. And they rely on social media, right? Now, in the UK, so people between the age of 18 and 24, those accessing news media has halved since 2015. From 53% to just 24%, right? So they're not going to news media. The corresponding figure for people over 35 has remained more or less about half, right?
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is that news is being sourced somewhere else. In Ireland, the decline in TV as a news source has accelerated in the past 8 years. Mm. So in 2015, 76% of Irish people consumed TV news. 76%, a huge amount. This has fallen to 58%, right? So what we're seeing is a total change in where people get their news. That's the first thing. The second thing is we see a total change in how people want their news to be packaged, because arguably what we're doing has been one of the big winners in this, podcasting. And the reason is, so 14% of all Irish people listen to podcasts, and that's kind of come from nowhere in the last five or 6 years. And the reason it is because a generation that has been brought up on social media doesn't want somebody else to tell them what to listen to. They want to curate their own news. They want to personalize their own information. And they're going to podcasts, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then, of course, that's you know, Gen Z and millennials. And then there's a third generation, which they call the Alpha Generation, John, which are very, very young, born after 2010, right?
Yeah.
And these are children who have grown up on YouTube. And what they are doing is they are watching YouTube, but more importantly, YouTube is watching them. And YouTube sees what they like, and the YouTube algorithm basically bombards them with what they already like.
Yeah.
So what you see is a public service broadcaster, which is based on a TV and radio scheduler, scheduling what people ought to listen to at certain times of the day, and in effect, pushing programs at people, has no hope in hell of responding to a world where consumers are much more autonomous. They have a much greater interest in and sovereignty over what they listen to. And what you're finding is old broadcasters like RTE just don't know what to do. And of course, they're depending completely on the older generation, but the older generation isn't where the advertisers want to be. The advertisers want to be in the younger generation.
It's interesting because, you know, having worked in RTE as well and in the radio side of things, you know, they talk about their audience and maintaining audiences. But the joke is actually that the Radio 1 listeners, for instance, tend to be older and they tuned into Radio 1 back in the day and haven't touched a dial since. And at one stage, they were a massive audience. But those listeners are literally dying by the day because they are old. But crucially, they're not being replaced by a younger generation. And as you say, they don't need the national broadcaster because they have it all on TikTok. I mean, my girls are a great example of this. Their first port of call is TikTok, whether it's for economics or a recipe or, you know, sport or music or whatever it is. And they outsource everything to Google and TikTok.
So what you have now is take your daughters, right? They're being bombarded. The algorithm picks up what they want to hear.
Mm.
They then give them more. And in time, they kind of become addicted to that type of content, right? Yeah. And the whole idea is I want to think about the word addiction, right? Because what is happening is we are witnessing a massive shift in popular culture. Massive. And it's going to have profound, profound consequences from society. We're moving to what you could probably call, John, a dopamine culture. And this is a term coined by an American music historian that I've referred to a few times called Ted Gaiora, G-I-O-R-A. If you don't know Ted Gaiora, you should. He has an amazing, amazing take on art, music, culture, history, literature, all those things that form the bedrock of what we would call popular culture. And it's fascinating. And what he's making the point is, as a result of technological change, what we're seeing at RTE is just the tip of the iceberg. And he's saying that in sport, in journalism, in politics, in music, everything is being repackaged into bite-sized hits of dopamine, right? It's actually psychologically and neurologically affecting us, right? And his idea is, and I think it's so important, John, that in every field of endeavor, think about albums. When we were young, bands made albums. They are now making 20-second TikToks.
Yeah.
And the reason they're doing that is they know that if their audience doesn't get hooked in the first 20 seconds, they'll switch off. They will discard. Now think about how that changes the music industry.
Yeah.
It changes the way in which you make songs. It changes the way in which you think about structuring the song.
There was a great program on Sky, I think it was, last year about the anatomy of a pop song. It was all about, back in the day, it was all about, there I go again, back in the day, but it was all about the really good...
Where did that fucking expression, back in the day, come from?
I don't know.
It's very recent.
I got it from TikTok.
The expression used to be years ago, or... long ago, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, well, I'm not having it.
Fado.
I'm not having it. Fado. Okay, let's go.
But it was all about the intro to the song, you know, and you know, and they could have a 30-second intro, even a minute intro, you know, and that was the build up to before the lyrics kicked in. But over the years, that intro has got shorter and shorter, and now it's just straight in to the hook. And the hook is there and away you go. And it either sells or it doesn't.
So that's exactly what we're talking about. So in a dopamine culture, the hook or the hit is everything. And the sooner you get it, the better.
Yeah.
And McGiora argues that, for example, in sport, we used to play sport. Then we watched sport on TV. Now people are gambling on the thing they're watching, right? It's a very interesting idea, right?
Yeah, well, just look at the number of online betting companies that sponsor premiership teams.
Yeah. He's talking about, for example, cinema, right? You used to have long cinema. People went to the cinema, movies. Now everything's replaced by little, small, short reels. Think about journalism, right? Journalism in newspapers. You used to have long-form journalism, 4,000-word essay. Mm. Now what you have is scrolling. Scrolling. You don't have journalism, or you have it, but it's not necessarily appealing to younger people. And he goes on, he talks about, even for example, marriage. You used to have marriage and commitments, and now you just have Tinder. It's it's a quick hit. It's non-committal. It's quick. It's instant. It's fast food. It's fast this. It's fast that. Fast sex, and away you go.
Yeah.
Right? What I
might
see
be fast sex for you, man.
At our game, John, any sex. They'll do it, right? But if you think about it, okay, what you have now is a shift in the popular culture. And that shift in the popular culture means that an entire generation are getting these little dopamine hits, right? So they scroll, they either digest, they discard, they scroll again. They're addicted to the buzz of the hit. And the thing is, we know, John, that all addiction, we know people who are addicted to drugs, for example, right? And we know many of them over the years, right? What basically happens is the addiction wears off very quickly.
Yeah.
And it wears off. You have to take more and more and more of the stuff simply to keep the buzz going. And it's exactly the same with the TikTokization of culture, that if we go down the route of simply making everything easy, digestible, you know, the barriers to entry, the barriers to ideas being very, very low, what you will have is you'll have an industry obsessed with distraction and distraction moving to addiction.
But don't they dress this up as the democratization of information? Because it's not so much dumbing down stuff, it's making things more accessible to everyone. So it's democratizing everything. And that, by definition, and because it's democracy, is a good thing. But perhaps not.
I think that's the way it's been spun.
Yeah.
I would say it's the infantilization rather than the democratization of all sorts of areas. Because what it does, John, is it leads to some very profound questions about society and about the way we learn. If people are given a 20 or 30 second time horizon and being told that this is totally normal and be told that it's okay to be distracted and it's normal to be distracted and it's normal to have zero ability to focus, what you have is a sort of almost like an ADHD nation, right?
Yeah.
That everyone's distracted, everything is discarded, nobody can concentrate. And more importantly, that's described as being completely normal. And it's, again, this is the large tech companies are doing this, right? And this, of course, has massive ramifications for lots of things.
But one of the things that kind of goes against the grain slightly of that is podcasting. Because podcasting, you know, is not the 20-second dopamine hit. It is, you know, the half hour, the hour long. And in terms of kind of Joe Rogan, it can be up to 3 hours. But from, you know, from a podcast, a regular podcast.
It's like, John, tantric podcasting with Joe Rogan.
Yes, yeah.
Make your podcast last, right?
Okay. Maybe we're missing out on something there. But seriously, like, podcasting does seem to go against the grain in this kind of dopamine world.
I think it does. And I think what's happening in podcasting is, the first thing I said is about this idea that podcasting, you customize your own podcasts, right? So you say, I'm going to curate my own listening. Yeah. I'm going to listen to people because I like it, right? Not because somebody tells me that this is the only thing on, which was the kind of RTE approach. But the other thing is, maybe, you know, podcasting, it's a low entry game, right? You can be podcasting and you can be on Twitter. You can be podcasting and you can be scrolling. You can be listening to a podcast and walking around. I mean, you look at people walking around, you look at people on the train, they're doing things while they're listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
So podcasting is like background information.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I'm thinking. That's where I think it goes. But you are right. It goes against the grain.
Yeah.
But hopefully, could imagine if we actually end up having a TikTok podcast. We'd have to talk for 20 seconds and then cut it down. Talk for another 20 seconds, right?
That's a challenge, Max. That's a challenge.
What freaks me out, John, is what happens to art in this world? And it's not just art, but it's what happens to economics, what's happened to politics,
yeah,
what's happened to finance, all that sort of stuff, you know, because that's the big question.
Well, let's explore that after a few hits.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, Mark, outside this room, the world has gone mad on TikTok and it's rattling along at a pace. This TikTokization of the world, as you call it. But let's bring it back to economics and politics and art and all of that. What is the impact of that? How is it going to be in the long term?
So I don't know how you can make or create anything worthwhile without contemplation.
Yeah.
I don't know how everything that is of any merit is difficult and requires enormous amounts of human focus, of brain power, of patience, of application, of understanding. Mm. And if you think of the great arc of humanity and the great lessons for life for many people is to try and get to a place in your own head where you understand yourself, you understand the world around you, you make all the connections, you say that's related to that, that's related to that. So if you want to get to that self, not so much awareness, but appreciation of what's going on, you need to work hard to get there.
Yeah.
So you think, for example, you know, political analysis is hard. It's very difficult. You need to actually commit yourself to learning that. For example, something that interests me is art, John. You know, art, how do you make art in a world of TikTok? How do you actually create something that's worthwhile, that is long-lasting, that has significance, right? I find it very, very difficult to see where the society is going to create the space for people to create art. And if you think about, you know, entertainment, okay, entertainment is just art made simple.
Right, okay.
Because art is supposed to challenge people. I've always thought that that's what the entertainment business is you're just making art simple, right? So art is supposed to challenge the artist, the creator, and the viewer and the recipient. It isn't supposed to be very simple straight away. It's like, oh, okay, I didn't get that. I didn't see that. Oh, that's interesting. Or that's pushing the boundaries a little bit. Entertainment, on the other hand, is basically art made easy. It's taking something that's quite difficult and making it easy.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it, I suppose.
And then popularization or pop, which I love, right? Like pop economics, pop art, pop culture, pop music, all that sort of stuff is going an extra place. It's actually making something that's quite difficult, accessible, easy. And what I always try to say, you are simplifying without making simple. That's the key to entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, and I've seen this in my own career, right? But there's over the years. So I remember when I first started doing economics, for example, on TV, current affairs or radio, there was always this battle between me, not so much between me, but I'd watch this battle between the producers, right? So their first idea is that economics was dry and stuffy and turgid and boring, right? That was you'd start with that idea.
Mm.
So producers, radio producers, because they're always thinking about how do we keep numbers up, would always try to say to me, how do we make economics entertaining? So the first idea is how do we grab people with economics, but how do we make it very, very accessible? And if you think that all broadcasting, John, is the business of colonizing people's minds. We are colonists, right? We are colonizing their minds for a time, for a period. We're grabbing their attention and we're hoping they're staying. The reason that RTE is failing now is because it can't grab enough people's attention for enough time or enough people at the right age in their lives so that advertisers want them, right? So imagine that all broadcasting is a form of colonizing people's heads in the gray matter between their ears. And art is the most difficult form of that because it's challenging. So then how do you do? You make something art or something difficult or tricky like economics, you turn it into entertainment, right? And how do you do that? You do that in broadcasting. It's a skill. You know you have a different turn of phrase, you have different idioms, you have different metaphors. You're taking something that seems to be tricky and you're actually making it more day-to-day. Now, I think that's skill, right? Yeah. But what I've seen over my own career is economics has gone from being seen as boring then to entertainment. And that's a very interesting sweet spot. But now what you're seeing in TikTok is that it becomes a distraction. We have to hit them with 20 economic messages, not just one. So if you look at, for example, any now financial newspaper, it is it's the ticker tape along the scroll that's all the new news, digest. And it's now becoming a distraction.
Yeah.
And very soon that distraction will become an addiction because the more distracted you are, the more distracted you want to be. And therefore you become addicted to all these tiny, tiny messages. So even if you look at my career, John, since we started this business maybe 20 years ago, we've gone from economics being in a ghetto, being difficult. Then it becomes much more mainstream. Then some book sales and TV shows become much more mainstream. But now economics is on Twitter. Now economics is on TikTok. It's simply becoming a distraction. And what you see all the time is the aim is to keep people distracted, keep them swiping, keep them scrolling, keep them on the platform. And this requires less and less individual application rather than more and more. But the problem is the subject demands more and more application because you cannot get to the stage where you can actually appreciate what's going on in finance and economics and politics without putting in what they call in sport, the hard yards.
Yeah.
You know, it's the idea that, you know, it's the 10,000 hours. It's all that stuff, the application. And that's where I think we've got this serious dilemma that we have a culture that requires us to have wisdom, to be able to make decisions, to be able to make societal significant decisions. That's going to be very difficult to do is if we're rewarding and feeding attention-grabbing clickbait things like TikTok all the time, where the aim isn't only the constant distraction, but the addiction on more and more of these dopamine hits. And that's what I find really challenging because then that allows fake news. Who knows what's true or not?
Yeah.
Then that allows, you know, people like Donald Trump to just lie all the time, all the time.
Yeah.
Then that allows us to have all sorts of movements that are anti-logic, that are anti-science, that are anti all these things that the scientific society requires to keep progressing.
For me, that's where the fake news and all the, like, there's more flat earthers now than there ever was before. Because
it's you and me and loads more.
No, but it seems to me when I look at this that there's more of this kind of fake news and more conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff because there's a lack, as you say, a lack of depth of knowledge, of people actually taking the time to stop and think rationally about stuff. And this idea of truth, you know, this idea that people have their own truth, which is absolute nonsense. People have their own opinions. They don't have their own truth.
That's very true. That's very true.
But it's always been about storytelling. Like, humans love telling each other stories. I mean, that's how we've communicated for millennia. But it's the way the stories are being told and the medium in which they're told is getting shorter and shorter into sound bites. So people are speaking in messages and takeaways rather than detailed analysis and content. And I think you're a really good example of taking the story of economics and creating stories that people want to hear, telling them in a way that really resonates with them. But actually, just the last thing I'll say on this before we go is that when I get lost on TikTok and go down rabbit holes and stuff, what I do find funny and ironic is the fact that a lot of the content on that, our little 20-second videos, are all about people telling you life hacks and how to slow down and meditate and breathe and all that kind of stuff.
But I mean,
but on a serious point, like, the pace of life at the moment is unsustainable.
Well, this is I think we'd probably conclude here. This is the weird thing is when you see, for example, the chief executives of large tech companies who are very interested in progress and they continue to tell us that this is the way the world is going and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And you see what they actually do with their own money when they buy themselves real estate in New Zealand, miles away from everywhere else, or in Hawaii, or a big country pile. That basically what they are doing is they are betting on Armageddon in their own personal lives.
Yeah.
While in their own business life, they're saying everything's going to be kosher and everything's going to be fine. I mean, and I think this is where we're at, that we're seeing in the Orti saga a collision of two worlds. If you observe younger people all the time, you see this dopamine culture everywhere. You get in the dark, they're on their phones all the time. Very few people looking out the window, contemplating, right? Think about what this is going to happen to truth, to politics, to reasoned analysis, right? It's so obvious that this is going to cause a certain amount of chaos. And I suppose the funny thing about RTE, John, is when it's gone, we might even miss it.
You could be right.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.